This podcast is brought to you by Schweitzer Church. If you want to learn more about us, please visit any of the links in the description. And now, please enjoy the message.
Hey, welcome today. I'm so glad you're here with us. My name is Spencer. Today we're going to start a brand new series called How to Love God. One day Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Or in other words, what is the greatest thing you can do in your life? And Jesus replied with this, Mark 12, verse 30. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. And then Jesus goes on to say that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That verse right there, Mark 12, verse 30, this is our outline for this next 4 weeks. We're going to ask a simple question. How do you love God with all of your heart? How do you love God with all your soul? How do you love God with all of your mind? How do you love God with all of your strength? We're just going to walk through those areas of our life in very practical terms and ask this question, how do we love God? So today as we start, we're going to talk about our hearts. How do we love God with all of our hearts? Follow-up question. What is our heart? Obviously, we're talking about more than just the organ that's in our chest that pumps blood. So today I'm going to borrow a definition of the heart from the great writer, thinker, philosopher, Dallas Willard, and hear his, I think, exceptional definition of what is our heart. He says this, quote, our heart is our will, the center of our being from which our life flows. It gives orientation to everything we do. Another word that Willard will often use to describe our heart is our character. It is what drives us, our heart, our character, our will. It's how we make decisions. It's what shapes our values and our priorities. And it's not something you think about. It's more like an operating system that's running in the background. And it's how you naturally respond to the world around you. This is your heart, your character, your will. Now, you might hear that and think to yourself, well, hold on, Spencer, I thought my heart was my emotions, right? Love God with all my heart was meant that I was going to love God with all my emotions. Well, think about a few things here. First of all, one of the things that we're going to see in this series, in each one of these weeks, is that our emotions are tied up into every part of who we are. They're not just our hearts. It's also tied up into our souls and our minds and our bodies or our strength. We're going to see that it's just really all entwined. You can't really separate those kinds of things. And so our emotions are tied up into everything. And then second, think about this. If I say to my wife, I love you with all my heart, I'm not saying I love you with all of my emotions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No, I'm saying I'm committed to you, right? I'm saying that that I'm going to be with you fully and thoroughly, that my ambition in life is you. Like, I'm not talking about my emotions. I'm talking about my desire, my drive, that you might say. And then third, just listen to how Jesus himself describes the heart. Because as you listen to Jesus's description of the heart throughout the New Testament, you realize he's not describing just our emotional life. He's really describing our character, our will, our drive. And so just a few examples of how Jesus uses our heart and talks about our heart throughout the Gospels. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In this passage, Jesus is describing the dangers of pursuing wealth and how our desires for wealth really reveal what's in our hearts. That's really what that comes from. And so some of us have hearts that chase after wealth. That is the most important thing for us. That's what our character is wrapped around. It's what drives us. Another example, Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus said, you brood of vipers. I love it when Jesus says that. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So according to Jesus, the outward life, our behavior, is driven by the inner life of our hearts. And he will speak in a very similar way about the relationship with anger and murder, lust and adultery, revenge and forgiveness, that our outward behavior is driven by our heart. Another example, Matthew 13. Jesus says, For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So I just want you to catch this. Our hearts can become calloused, or sometimes the Bible talks about how they become hard. A hard heart is one that is stubborn. It's one that is unwilling to learn and grow and practice confession and repentance. And the sign of a hard heart is somebody who's always right and never wrong. This is a very dangerous way to live, because when you have a hard heart, you will miss God. Another example, Matthew 15. Jesus says, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." So sin is not just the bad things I do or the bad words that I say. Sin is this disposition of my character, of my heart. And so the root of sin, it runs deeply within us. And this is why the work towards sanctification and holiness is not just about changing our behaviors, but it's about really addressing what is within, what drives us, and what is in our character, our hearts. In the same way, Jesus says this in Luke 6, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And then one more example, Luke 12. Jesus says, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and then do not worry about it." Now, what Jesus is talking about here is how worry and anxiety are not about the circumstances of our life, and rather they are about the condition of our heart. And a lot of people don't understand this, because they think if I could just change my financial situation, if I could change my family situation, if I could change my health situation, then I wouldn't worry. But really, the reason I worry is because of the condition of my heart. And so if the circumstances changed around me and they're all good, if my condition of my heart is not addressed, I'm just going to find somewhere else to worry about. I mean, what drives my life is my heart. It's my character. We see this really throughout the Bible, and I could keep going with lots more examples, because out of the 66 books of the Bible, the heart is spoken of over 750 times. It's all over the place. But I think you're probably getting my point. So there is this part of your life that is your heart, your will, your character, your drive. It is this place where your actions and reactions in life come from. And Jesus is very interested in this part of your life. So we come back to this question: how do I love God with all of my heart? And to answer this, we need to address the state of our heart. Because to love God with all of my heart means that I'm going to live in such a way that I honor God with my heart, my character, my drive, my will. A great place to see this and to get really practical about this is a teaching of Paul in Colossians chapter 3. So let's go to Colossians 3, and I just want to walk you through this teaching. It's not very long, but just listen to the language that Paul uses as he describes how do we address the state of our hearts. So here's what he teaches, Colossians 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ." So since this is what's true about you, the resurrection of Jesus has raised you because you belong to him. That's what we talked about in our last 3 weeks as we read through Romans 8. So since then, you've been raised with Christ. Listen to this language. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If you're reading from your Bibles, you know, underline, highlight, star, circle, whatever it is, that phrase, set your hearts. It's so important. Set your hearts on things above. Keeps going. Verse 2, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So when we belong to Jesus, there is a reorientation that takes place in our lives about what we want in life. And it centers on this idea that we are going to set our hearts on things above and not on earthly things. So what does that mean? What does it look like in action? How do we, you know, kind of put flesh and bones around this? Well, Paul keeps going on. He's going to give some examples of how we do this. So verse 5, "Put to death," listen to that phrase, "put to death," you should underline that, "put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must," rid yourselves. Catch that. Rid yourselves. Put to death, and now rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. do not lie to each other, since you have taken off. Just listen to that very intentional language. You've taken off. You've gotten rid of this part of your life. So you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on, again, listen to that language, very intentional, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In other words, we're all in the same boat. Whether you're religious or not religious, pagan or Gentile or Jew, it doesn't matter. We all have to address our hearts. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. This is that clothe yourself. So put to death, rid yourselves, put off. Now take on, clothe yourselves. This kind of language we're using here. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on, listen again, very intentional language, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what does it mean to set our hearts on things above? Well, it means that we are going to live into the new reality that we find in Christ. And no longer are we going to live according to the values and the appetites, the desires of the old life. So as we read in Colossians, this language was centered on being very intentional, right? You're going to put to death, you're going to put on, you're going to take off. This language is actually centered around the baptismal experience for the early Christians, because the first generation of Christians, they would literally change their clothes when they were baptized to put on a white robe to symbolize this new life that they were going to live now in Christ. And so throughout this teaching, you hear this very intentional language about what it is you're going to do with your heart and how you're going to tend to this and how you're going to live, because how you set your hearts is a very practical way that we live with great intentionality. And so in this intentionality, there were a couple of assumptions in this teaching about our hearts that are worth lifting up. And these assumptions are going to sound simple and obvious. However, they are also very, very countercultural. Because as you think about this teaching we just read about being very intentional with how we do with our hearts, there are two assumptions buried in this teaching that we need to lift up. One is that our hearts can change. And two, there's an assumption that our hearts need to change. So I know, simple and obvious, but very, very countercultural. Our hearts can change and our hearts need to change. So let's just think about this, because in our culture that we live in today, those two assumptions, oh my gosh, that is so countercultural. I mean, think about the adage that we hear all the time. People say this, they say, follow your heart. Now, what is the assumption of that saying, follow your heart? Well, it assumes that your heart is a reliable guide for truth, that your heart is a reliable guide for how you should live. And so the key to a happy, healthy, full life is that when we live in congruence with what we feel to be true in our hearts. This is why people talk about living their authentic self or their true self. They're following their heart. So you see, in modern culture, the heart has become, for so many people, the North Star of their life. It is what they follow for truth and a good, happy, full life. And of course, we see this, you know, in all kinds of places. We see this in the sexual ethics debate, the gender identity debate. We see this with the kind of the changes we see around the family happening in our culture today. But it's not just sexual ethics. I mean, I think about, for instance, how there's this like very, very, very common career advice. You've probably heard it before. People will say something like, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're, what is it? As long as you're happy, okay? Or another thing I've heard many people say is like, you know, people stay married for as long as they feel like they're in love. Like our hearts become this thing that guides us. Our hearts become the North Star of our life. Our hearts, we are thought to be this reliable guide for truth. And while we encounter this kind of thinking in pretty much everywhere we look, from podcasts to books to shows to songs to TikTok videos, I mean, it's all over the place that this idea that our heart is a reliable guide for truth and our heart is the North Star of our life, it's so mainstream. We have to understand that kind of thinking That is not Christian thought. I mean, Christian thinking is very different. I mean, think about what we read in Colossians 3. Set your hearts on things above. Put to death what belongs to the earthly nature. Clothe yourself with Christ. Put on the new life, this great intentionality. And so what do Christians believe about our hearts? Well, we believe that the heart is not the North Star of our life. And in fact, not only do we believe that the heart is not the North Star of our life, we believe that our hearts can change and need to change because our hearts are corrupted. Our hearts are selfish. Our hearts are sinful. Our hearts lead us away from the life that we have in us. And we have this thing called sin. And sin is not just the bad things I do or the bad words that I say. It is this disposition that is within me that takes me away from God and His truth. And so therefore, Christian thinking is always understood that we need to be very suspicious about our hearts, not embracing of them. And this is the wisdom of Colossians 3, why I wanted us to read it, because you have this incredible language of great intentionality, of setting our hearts and following our, of setting our hearts and following Christ and putting off the old self and finding this new life. This is the wisdom of Colossians 3. So as you think about this, the natural state of your heart that is corrupted, the truth is, if you follow your heart, that's not going to lead you to truth. It's not going to lead you to the life that God has for you because your heart is corrupted, it's sinful, it's suspicious. Or therefore, we should be suspicious. This is the Christian view that is very, very countercultural. So the Bible assumes that your heart can change and that it needs to change. And then we get to the practical question, well, how? How does that happen? Again, let's go back to Colossians 3 and hear that phrase. Set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts. That word set could also be translated from the Greek as seek or pursue or chase. It's the same word Jesus used when he said that he has come to seek and to save the lost. Like Jesus had this incredible clarity about his vision, what his life was about, and what he was here to search after the lost. In the same way, we need to develop a clarity about our lives that we are going to not just maybe set, we're going to seek after. We're going to chase after. We're going to pursue. We're going to set our hearts on things above. We're going to be focused on that, which is, of course, to say that we're focused on Jesus. And so therefore, we're going to have this great intentionality with what we do with our hearts. We're not just going to just let our hearts set the agenda for us, but rather we are going to decide that in our lives, we are going to pursue Christ. You see, the truth is, your heart is always being shaped and molded and formed by something. And if you're not setting your heart on Christ, then your heart is being shaped and molded and formed by something else. The Proverbs teaches us to guard our hearts, to be careful with it, to tend to it, to not just allow it to be influenced by everything around us, but to be very intentional with what we do with our heart. And so this point that I'm making here right now, I know it is simple and obvious that we have to tend to our hearts and cultivate what we want to be true. And we have to be intentional with how we live with our hearts. And it's just a simple and obvious point. And yet I'm amazed at how this point is lost on just so many people. I mean, so let's think about this practically and let's just run through an example of how this works when we are intentional or unintentional about our hearts and what it is we set our hearts on. And so we're just going to go through a really common struggle. This may not be a common struggle for you, but it's a common struggle for people. And I just want to walk through this struggle, looking at how our hearts are influenced by the things around us and what we consume and what we think about and how it is that when we set our hearts on a different thing, we can have a different outcome. So let's talk about a very, very common struggle, maybe not a common struggle for you, but a common struggle for so many people. And let's talk about anxiety. So anxiety, if you follow statistics, anxiety is like through the roof. Young adults in particular are just really, really struggling with this. And many, 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 many people are seeking relief for their anxiety through medications, SSRIs, prescriptions like that are just, you know, skyrocketing. And while these medications may certainly be helpful for a season, they were never intended to be long-term solutions. And yet lots and lots and lots of people are using them for long-term solutions to this problem of anxiety. So in my sermons, I mention anxiety on a fairly regular basis. And the reason I do that is because it is just such a common thing for so many people. So many of us are struggling with this. And so sometimes someone will come up to me afterwards and they'll ask me kind of a follow-up question. Okay, Spencer, you mentioned anxiety. The Bible talks about, you know, fear not all the time, all over the place in the Bible. You've got Jesus saying things like, you know, not to worry about your life. Philippians 4, Paul says, you know, do not be anxious about anything. So people come up to me and say, Spencer, okay, so how do I do this? How do I not struggle with this? How do I get free of this? How do I live in a different kind of way? How do I do this? And when I get asked that question, I always start with another question. I ask this, okay, so tell me about your heart. Now, generally, when I ask that question, I get a blank stare because who talks like that? I mean, no one really understands how to give description to their heart. But, you know, that's where I start. So let's talk about our hearts here. Tell me about your heart. So let's talk about things like, what is your heart set on? What do you seek after? What do you fill your life with? Maybe practically speaking, we might want to ask, like, how much time do you spend each day doing things that are anxiety-producing? Versus how much time do you spend each day on things that bring peace? How much time do you spend each day online? How much time do you spend on social media? What kind of accounts do you follow? Because every minute you spend on social media is a minute that you are just setting your heart on anxiety. I mean, the evidence for that is just convincing at this point. Or for others, I might ask, like, how much news do you consume? Or maybe for others, I might ask, how do you deal with anxiety? How do you cope at the end of a long, stressful day? Do you self-medicate? Do you check out with just hours on your phone scrolling? Do you just binge watch Netflix, not to have to think about anything? Like, what do you do in order to deal with that anxiety? And there's another set of questions I would ask. Okay, so tell me not about your heart, what it's set on, but tell me about things like your prayer life. Tell me about how much time you spend in the Bible. And not just reading the Bible, but like memorizing it, meditating on it, journaling about it, studying it with others, chewing on it, praying the scriptures. Like how much time do you spend doing that? Do you practice Sabbath? Do you find time in your day-to-day life to have silence and solitude where you can hear the voice of God? Do you look for opportunities to serve other people? Do you fill your minds maybe with worship music when you're driving? Like in other words, use Colossians 3. Do you set your hearts on things above, or do you set your heart on anxiety? Or another example, let's say you struggle with lust. And not just porn, but maybe struggle with lust. So I might ask, how much time do you spend, you know, watching TV or YouTube or TikTok videos that just feed this? Or maybe you struggle with anger. It's like, how much time do you spend doom scrolling, just getting more and more angry? Like, set your hearts on things above. The Proverbs teach us, guard your heart. Like, be careful with this, because here's the truth. If you want your life to change, you have to change your life. You can't just keep living in the same kind of way and hope that something happens. You have to be careful with what your heart is set on. This is why spiritual practice that we talk about in church are so important. Things like Bible reading and memorization and daily prayer and Sabbath keeping and tithing and serving other people. These are not just things to do. Like, these are crucial things that shape our heart and shape our life. And so if you ignore them, you should expect nothing to change in your life. That should be your expectation. If you ignore spiritual practices and disciplines, nothing should change in your life. This is just should be the expectation. So this reminds me of that time Jesus went to Jerusalem. And as he came into the city, there was this man who was sitting by the gate begging. And the Bible tells us that he'd been crippled for like 38 years. And so Jesus comes up to this man, he sees him. And then Jesus asks him one of the most, I think, profound questions in the entire Bible. It's John chapter 5, verse 6. He looks to this man and Jesus says this to this man. He says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now, then the man hears this question and he replies to Jesus, hey, no one is here to help me. How am I going to get well? And I just find that so interesting that Jesus asks him a pretty simple question and he replies back with an excuse of why he can't get well. Now, that question, do you want to get well? That question haunts me sometimes. Because there's an obvious answer to that question. Yes, I want to get well. Yes, I want to be free of my sin. Yes, I want to live a life that is full in Christ. Yes, I want to be overcoming my anxiety. Yes, I want to have a life that is peaceful. Yes, I want to love my enemies. Yes, I want to forgive those who have hurt me. Yes, I want to get well. Yes, I want to do this. But that question also forces me to look at my life and just ask this, really? Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to do the work that it's going to require to be well? Do you want to do the work of intentionally setting your heart on Christ, of feeding your soul the right kinds of things and not the kinds of things that are going to keep pulling you away? Like, if you want your life to change, you have to change your life. And so are you actually willing to do the work of taking off the old life, putting to death the old values in order to clothe yourself with Christ? Are you really willing to set your hearts on things above? So we come back to this question. How do we love God with our whole heart? And here's where it starts. It starts when we begin to cultivate a heart that desires God. It starts when we begin to be intentional with what we are setting our hearts on. So let me just ask you some questions as we close here. What has your heart been set on? What has your attention? What do you spend your time on? What do you focus your time on? What do you spend your idle time on? How much time do you spend and attention do you spend actively trying to and seeking to be closer to Jesus? What are you consuming that doesn't bring out God's best for you? Because loving God with all of your heart, it's the greatest thing you can do in your life. But it's not going to happen on accident. Let's pray together. And so, Father, today we hear this call to address our hearts, to set our hearts, to be intentional with our hearts, as the Proverbs teaches, to guard our hearts, to focus our lives on you. The natural state of our hearts is selfishness and sin. It is leading us away. And so, Lord, would you speak into our lives about some of the practices that we have been following that have been leading us away from a life with you? Ways that we've been setting our hearts maybe on anxiety or lust or pride or greed or comparison or envy or all kinds of other things. And then we feed that sinful nature more and more and more because we're setting our lives on that. When in reality, what you call us to is to be intentional with how we cultivate a life that follows you. We cultivate a heart that is being formed in your image. We thank you that you have come for us and you have come to give us a new kind of life, a life in Christ. And so I want to pray with anyone who's with us today and doesn't know the hope of Jesus and the hope of serving you. And so we just offer up a simple prayer of faith. Lord Jesus, would you forgive me my sin and would you lead my life? Would you lead my life, lead me towards something new, which is a life in you, the full life in Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. And would you convict us and stir us today to set our hearts on Jesus, our Savior. It is in His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a Schweitzer podcast. We hope you found this message to be helpful and encouraging. If you enjoyed this experience, please remember to share us with your friends and neighbors. Thanks again for stopping by, and remember, you are loved.